April 4, 2020, it's a lot from Pedro Show.
brain, no thought, no hurt, no hand to reach, no knife, no word, no lie, no cure, no need, no hate, no will, no speech.
Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Still in quick and quarantino mode. So, Brother Matt, 3 miles south of Love Grotto on Pleasure Point. But I'm not man alone here because of the incredible engineers in Estonia with their Skype software.
Yeah.
You can hear my guest right there. You're in Toronto, right, Marco?
Yes, in Toronto, Canada.
Welcome aboard. Now, you're Thank a little you. Different. Usually I have a musician as guest, and we talk about the musical journey, but you're more of a cinema man.
So, yeah, I am.
But that's okay. Just,
But you could say I do have a band and I do play bass, so you could say technically I'm a musician as well. But
and I know a lot of your cinema work is regarding music also.
Yeah. Yes. Of course.
Yeah. What I mean is where I have guests on and we talk about the musical journey. And even though you've had it too, and you're still doing it, and you're playing bass, which much respect for me for that. But what's your earliest movie memory?
Oh, I think you know. I would say the films that have influenced me the most. You know, growing up, usually you know in your teen years. That stay with you forever. I would say for me were definitely, I remember seeing Blue Velvet in the cinema. And I think that for me was probably the film that has stayed with me the most. And maybe I was like 16, 17 at the time or even younger. So I feel like that one. And I'm a big fan of Derek Jarman's films, hence I use a lot of Super 8 in my film as well. And I'd say, David Lynch for sure was my big influence as well.
Well, not so much influence. I mean, what do you remember first got you interested? You were 16?
Yeah.
Before that, you weren't that interested in movies or not just interested, but wanting to make them.
I could even say even before that, as growing up, when I would go on family vacations, I was the one who always had the video camera, the VHS on me, and was always documenting everything.
When did you get this camera?
I remember like in 82, maybe 82, 83, I was in Florida. I'm originally from Rome, Italy. My parents moved to Florida. I remember, when VHS just for cameras came out, I remember always wanting to use it and film everything that was happening. So I started filming family vacations, and I remember also having a Super 8 camera, and it's often you can't really explain where it comes from, but I just felt this need to document, and I guess that's in the end why I kept that throughout my life.
How did you get the devices? Was it a present from parents?
My parents would have bought it for the family.
Did you ask? Is it like Christmas time where you make the list?
No, I probably would have gone with them to get it. Maybe I can't remember if I had asked for it, but I was always into technology and video. So yeah, I'm sure I probably would have asked for it.
Do you have people in your family that do this kind of stuff?
No, no one. Okay. No one at all.
Well, you would be surprised how many people who do music have music parents. And there's a lot who don't either, but that's why I ask. Okay, so what about school? Going way back to grade school, since what part of Florida?
Well, I went in Miami, actually. My mom's American, and my dad's Italian. We ended up moving there in early 80s. I stayed there and I ended up going to University of Miami. And I knew I wanted to go to film school. So I started doing, films there and short films using Super 8.
I'm curious, even before, like in grade school, was there film stuff?
Not that early. And I always kind of wanted to be in a band, really, but I was
music. Well, what about photography? I remember junior high school here in Dotson and San Pedro High, there was photography classes, but they were still.
Yes. And actually, yeah, I was always really interested in photography as well. I started doing photography first. I had a Pentax K1000 and, you know, I took photo classes, and was kind of always, because I think I had, you know, some people just stay with photography, but I really loved the moving image. So
yeah.
I kind of then switched from photography to video.
When did that happen? When you got that VHS camera?
Yeah, I believe, probably around 85, just before I was heading into university.
Okay. And, yeah. Oh, I forgot to say what we started the show off with, the music. Off Minor from John Coltrane, the Thelonious Monk, the 9 months he served with, between the Miles Davis shifts he served. And then a tune you picked back from the Swans. And Michael just made it.
Yes.
Larry just told me Michael made it. They both made a new Swans record. And this is called Screenshot. Great, great tune. You know, Michael actually is from the hill here, San Pedro.
Yeah.
We're the harbor. And then there's this hill called Palos Verdes. I know he went to Europe as a boy and stuff. I saw your documentary. That was very, very, very good. Very interesting.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's get back to your story here, though. The VHS, you start. So at first your idea is documentary, or do you want to write scripts and tell? I know you got into editing, right? So you got into like kind of the nuts and bolts of the stuff.
Yes, I mean, I basically, I knew I wanted, you know, it's making a film seems such a almost an unreachable idea or goal, but so I kind of. You know, after university, I was just, I kind of got into editing, more as, just as a, really as a job, but I always had an eye toward, music and, wanted to get, my first sort of films were music videos, really. So I started, what music videos?
Yeah, when I think of music video, I think of MTV and like one song for one video.
Yeah, like little music videos. I had connections with this Italian electronic band called Pankow. They were on Wax Trax. And I remember when I was like 19 or so, I shot a video and just asked them kind of, I did put their music to it. And that was really my sort of my first video when I was in university. It was a black and white video, you know, film music video that I shot all in Super 8. And so I started, you know, yeah, I started doing just for myself. I mean, just very low budget, no budget really, just, you know, just shooting a few rolls of Super 8 and editing myself. I ended up shooting a music video for The Wedding Present, this British band who are pretty well known. And
I played some gigs with Wedding Present.
Oh, really?
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s, I think.
Yeah, I was a huge fan. And one year they had a competition where they were asking, they did a single for every month and they asked, and put out a call for amateur filmmakers, you know, to, yeah, contest to see who could do a music video for them. Very low budget. And I got chosen to be one of the guys. So I ended up doing a music video on Super 8 for them back in, I think it was 1990.
Okay.
And then I did several music videos for Italian bands. When I moved back to Italy in the early 90s, I did about half a dozen music videos there. And then when I moved to Toronto in 96, I kept doing, you know, just small music videos, but by then I was already starting to edit professionally and, kind of just was mainly an editor until I just needed the right project really to have the confidence. I needed time to have the guts to have the confidence to know that I could make a documentary. And in the end, when I, you know, I mean, yeah, once I knew the Swan story could be the story I wanted to tell, I knew I felt like I was the one I was ready for, you know, to make the film. Mm-hmm. But that took many years.
Yeah, I can believe that. You know, you sent me a bunch of music, so we're going to play We Love You, Michael Gira by Ben Frost, okay?
don't feel love, and I don't see anything coming down from above. But this world spins slowly, and I see a light rising from behind the horizon up into the clear. But I don't see you, my blinded sight. In fact, I can't remember why we are alive. Now,
Pedro Show. Yeah, we heard "We Love You," Michael Gira, Ben Frost, and who is Ben, by the way, Marco?
Oh, he's this really amazing electronic sort of a sound, I would say, artist. He records for Mute Records now, and he's from Iceland. And this song in particular, you know, I always knew he had this song called "We Love You," Michael Ojira, who's the singer, you know, the Swans. And in the film, I interviewed Ben for the film because he does have a connection with Swans. He was actually going to play in the upcoming tour of Swans. And he's been kind of like me. He was a fan of Swans and then ended up working with Michael. And he had this song, which was just like an arbitrary title, but he was explaining to me how by naming it, it was just, you know, it's very, if you, when you, you'll have heard the track, it's just very ambient and kind of just, yeah, like electronic. And so there's no words or anything, but it's just giving the name Dad in the hope that someone might say, oh, who's Michael Girard? And, you know, then you discover, you kind of paying it forward, you discover someone through someone else. And I quite like that. And so, yeah, I chose that. He's a really excellent musician, artist. Definitely check it out if you can.
John Coltrane named a lot of songs after people, and there's no words. I think the only one with words is the ballads things with Johnny Hartman. But, yeah, Mr. PC, Paul Chambers, and it's got a big bass part, you know. Music's pretty flexible. Yeah, you can be flexible. But titles, you're exactly right. It gives it a focus, a point of reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about that. Yeah. In fact, a film, right? Like the Swans documentary.
Yes.
How did you pick that title? Because, you know what I mean, when somebody first gets presented, that's very important. That's carrying a lot of weight.
Yeah. It was actually... The title, I had suggested a few titles to Michael. I had some working titles, but it was actually Michael that suggested that the name, Where Does the Body End, and which is a song title from one of the Swans albums from 1995, The Great Annihilator. And I thought it was just a beautiful title, that very fitting for the film.
Also, and at the beginning, he gives a little spiel on, you know, where do we end? When do we begin?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And Michael's often, questioning everything, you know, and our existence.
Critical.
Why are we alive? So yeah, I thought that was a nice to frame it in the film with this question, because Swan's music is often a lot about, you know, these themes of existence and existentialism and so I wanted to make a film that wasn't just a traditional music doc. You know, there's more to it. And of course, Michael is an artist that has lived his life through his music. So I wanted to dig deeper than not just a, you know, very traditional music doc.
Yeah. You're like typical I understand. It's a lot about persona. I think that was the whole idea of the movement, you know, in a way, because things were getting too much generic. We also heard Gareth Sagert, you know, we're in hunker down mode, so he's got a piano there in the pad, and he's just playing away. He did Ornette Coleman's Turnaround. Then Wild Rats pulling the pot. This is something from 23 years ago, people. It's finally coming out with Ron Ashton and Thirst and Steve Shelley was on the drums. It was the soundtrack for Velvet Goldmine. Todd Haynes made. And I think they ended up using only one of the songs, but we recorded over an album worth of stuff, so that stuff's coming out now. The Wild Rats, and it's spelled funny. WYLDERATTTZ. And that's not my fault, people. And they gave me a nickname in the studio, too. I mean, this is the first time where I'm actually playing with Ron Ashton. He's sitting right across from me. And here's the guy who wrote TVI, playing TVI in my face. Total mind blow.
Wow.
And probably had something to do with the coming back together, because Ronnie and Ig didn't talk for 29 years. Well, Jay Maskus had a lot to do with it, too. Then we had from Oxford, Lucy Lee, Have a Dream. Bill's Pump out of Leeds, both England. Tommy's out. And then finally, Why Are We Alive? Talking about existentialism, right? From the Swans, Michael. And Larry, you know, Larry Mullins was part of this new recording. He really likes this new thing. And I think he was going to be part of the touring. I think Michael got a whole new band together. And I think it's actually, the tour was going to have different shifts of different musicians.
Yeah, it was the first part was going to be with Ben Frost, which I was really looking forward to hearing, because Ben is, you know, not a traditional sort of, just he would add a lot of electronics and textures to the sound, to the live sound. And and then I think after the first part, Ben would drop out and Larry Mullins would join, who I've also seen back in the mid-90s when he did a tour with Swans in 95. And I love Larry's playing as well.
Yeah, he's a great cat. And, you know, last week I had Thor Harris on the show, and I know he served some time. How long did it take to make the doc?
I started interviewing people back in 2014. I had previously, since Swans had reformed in 2010, the first thing I immediately knew I wanted to document as much as I could of the band. And I had met Michael before, every time he would pass through Toronto with Angels of Light over the years, and we'd formed a friendship. And I asked them, you know, if I could go tag along and film shows for them. And I amassed enough footage where so that I could basically put together these sort of concert films. And so after a few years of doing that, I just and witnessing just the power of Swans live, I just knew I wanted to kind of tell the whole story, just the doc, you know, of the band, because there was really nothing had been made of Swans, and there wasn't much even on YouTube. There was nothing really documenting a band that had such influence on so many people and other bands. So I asked Michael my idea, and yeah, I think, you know, he trusted me enough to just let me have a go. And so then I started calling people, and I was, to my surprise, so many people just immediately said yes. And I was kind of off and running. I would go to New York and interview, I think the first people I interviewed were Jim Thirlwell of Fetus and Lee Ronaldo, Thurston Moore. I had a lot of people that said yes to me, so I was really grateful.
Well, I know Lee and Thurst. You know, the Sonics, they were kind of, yeah. Sonic Youth, I should say, not the Sonics from Oregon, but the Sonic Youth. Yeah. And Swans were kind of together for a little bit there in the early 80s.
Yeah, and that was, part of the film deals with the beginning of Swans, which was in very connected with Sonic Youth. And not everyone knows this, and, you know, we're just starting out as friends, and... But even though their trajectories kind of went separate ways,
they shared practice pads, right?
Yeah, they would rehearse all in Michael's apartment in the lower.
That's right. It was actually his pad with the fucking paintings guys in the big.
It was called the bunker. Yeah.
the bunker, right?
The bunker, yeah.
Hey, bunker. We're at the end of this first hour, April 4, 2020. Just want Peter show. Hold tight for hour two. April 4, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
boomer. I don't like people, they don't like me. Got no skills, school hated me. I'd like to have a load of bling, but I don't rap, no future for me. Boomer, boomer. Boomer remover. Maybe Corona is my friend. I'm young and strong. I won't get dead. I wipe that virus more and more on all the goods in any old store. Boomer remover. So what I do everywhere, I wipe my hands on any old thing. I touch the produce, makes me sing. I touch the surface of everything. Boomer remover. Bourgeoisie. I laugh and dance at every store. I want to do this forevermore. Boomer remover. Well, finally, they got wise to me. The cameras all caught up to me. My picture's everywhere. I'm dope. I'm famous now, but I got no hope. Boomer remover.
marriage is her. And you can tell from the full body cast that you're sorry that you asked, that you did everything you could, like any decent person would. But I might be touching, so don't touch. Don't believe that you're immune to gravity and stuff. Don't get me wet, because the bandages will all come off. You can tell from the skin that the current state of critical. It's just the way the medication makes her. I don't necessarily believe that this is good for this stuff in my 20th century, but only as a natural death. I'm just too precarious for me, just a precarious. You don't have to love me, I'm not bad.
For Pedro Show, started our two off with Spider Baby. This guy I love, Kid Congo and the Pink Monkey Birds. Kid Congo, great cat. You know, he goes back, way back in the L.A. SoCal punk scene. I think he ran the Ramones fan club when he was a teenager. And I just love him. Last time I got to play with him was in right near Disneyland in Orange County. Kiki, he had Kiki on bass, and just great band, man. I love these cats. And then V-Vale with Boomer Remover. That's V-Vale singing. Now, he was actually in the first six-man version of Blue Cheer until they saw Cream, and then Dickie kicked everybody out so they could be a power trio. Tollum after that with The Last. Cosmos Scheiss at a Hamburg with You're Too Loud. You Are Too Loud, sorry. Wasted Space. That's Crane and Dirt People from the Hill, actually, where Michael from. Pier Avenue, which I think is Formosa, right? That's where Meteorite, that's where Minutemen recorded their first record, Black Flag, Nervous Breakdown, Spotsky. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the Dresden Dolls' Girl Acronism with Anachronism. Why'd you pick that song there, Marco?
Because that has Amanda Palmer in it.
She's in the dock with the swans, yeah.
Yeah, and she's in my film, and so I just chose that. And just like her and Kid Congo, I was really grateful that I was able to interview them. A lot of the interviews or maybe half of them. When someone would, come to Toronto for touring, I would try and hook up with them in town. And that's what I did with Kid Congo and Amanda Palmer. Often I would just have like an hour or so with them just because of their busy schedule. I interviewed Kid Congo just before his show in Toronto, must have been like 2016. And it was, apart from just being such an amazing show that I loved, he was so one of the nicest people. Again, like you end up meeting I wouldn't say idols, but people that you grew up seeing and listening to their music, and then you just meet them, and they're just incredibly generous and kind, like giving you your time, their time, and I loved the interviewing Kid Congo and Amanda Palmer. And
so I'm curious, so many, Marco, you had a list of people you wanted to get to, or it was just the opportunity? Whoa, Kid's in town, Amanda's in town, or did you have a list of people before, or did Michael give you a list?
I would, it was kind of a combination, obviously maybe 25 made it into the film, and I also had, but the rest I have Blu-ray or DVD and DVD coming out later this year, and I put together like 2 hours of bonus material, bonus scenes, so it'll be quite comprehensive.
The Spiels that didn't make the movie will be in that. Okay.
Yeah.
And here's one of the guys right here. I'm going to play Thurston. From Pedro Show, Thurston Moore with Turn On, and then we had Jerk Graham with Looking Up Into the Dawn. Psyche, this band from the early 70s, they only did one gig. They made one record. They're right out of high school. It's a funny, I think they printed 50 records. But this is them doing King Crimson. Lark's Tongue and Aspic Part 2. I mean, if you're in Prague, I just think it's hilarious. I mean, the movement was kind of for the people like me and D. Boone and Georgie just finding out about it. But this stuff always existed in the 60s. I found this by working with the Stooges. There was always garage bands and little labels. And just arena rock kind of clouded that over. So the movement was about refining that stuff. And finally, Sonic Youth with Teresa's Sound World. And, yeah, you know, to hear Thirst, I mean, Thirst kind of laughing at some of these antics, you know, Michael spitting on himself and playing so hard, working so hard that he's his eyeballs are bugging out.
Yeah.
But with Lee, it's a little different. You could tell Lee, it's interesting, the take of the two guitar players on the Swans. Because they both, I think, yeah, they both understood the artistic important, but yeah, Thirst is a little more into the persona, and Lee kind of more into the art, which kind of fits their personalities. And that's what I thought was really good about the stuff you asked or had these guys say, because I don't know exactly how you conduct the interviews, but you brought out stuff that really gave good perspective and dimension.
Yeah, and you know, there was there's one scene that I had to take out. I have in the bonus scenes that talks about Thurston talks about their friendship, and you know, they became friends mainly again through Thurston's love of music. They would meet up and play, you know, 45s. And one of the, I think one of the bands that they kind of bonded over was the Germs. That Michael loved the Germs, and so it's Thirst. And I think there was this single "Caught in My Eye," and they were often go see punk shows, matinee shows like Black Flag in New York together, and. So I love that it's, you know, they had this friendship, you know, like forget kind of even with the bands, but it was this friendship they had from the beginning that I tried to capture even when they, you know, in 2017 when they played together in London and they hadn't seen each other in a while. I mean, they did have a falling out for several years, but I you know, that was part of the film was, you know, about their friendship as well, not just the band.
Well, one thing that you did keep in the film was first talking about his first fanzine, Killer, and he puts Michael in the first issue.
Yeah.
The cover.
Yeah, and that's a sign of, you know, real friendship. Were you aware? I wanted to ask you about Michael at all before in L.A. before he moved to
New
York.
What was it called? The Cripples or the Strict
the Cripples, yeah.
Yeah, he had a band that played The Other Mask. Not too long. It was only, I don't remember their name exactly, but they played some gigs, and then he went to New York City. And then, but I learned more about them because Kim and Thirst would invite me to, this is when they lived, Christie and Elridge around there in the Chinatown now. And I would just go there for a few days. They let me stay there, and I could explore New York City. And that's how I would find out about them. And who was the guy, the filmmaker?
Richard Kern.
Richard Kern. He lived upstairs from them. And all these kind of artistic people that were also involved with the movement, kind of. And it was much different than here in SoCal. You know?
Yeah.
Because over there in New York City, people are closer, you know? We're all spread out here. You meet people at the gig, maybe, but you don't really, like, live close to them. So, much different kind of thing. So, that's where I found out a lot about them. And I remember seeing those guys. I'm pretty sure it was The Other Mask on Santa Monica Boulevard where I saw them. And he was quite a distinctive.
Yeah.
but in the old days, a lot of people were. You know, there wasn't really the Xerox punk yet. You didn't have the cookie cutter thing.
Right,
the back of the Circle Jerk record that everybody copied. You know, that was still like you made it on your own. And Michael, God, he didn't have an outfit at all. I think he had no shirt on, just pants. And, really caught up in his import. It's trippy that Hank didn't want to say anything. I know Hank's a big Nick Cave fan, but you could tell. Maybe not. Because, you know, Ig's a big influence on those guys, too. It would have been good if you could have got Ig. I don't think I've ever talked about Swans with Ig, but Ig's aware of all kinds of shit.
Yeah, you know, he's I tried to go get him through his manager, but you know, it's so hard to get someone like him. And also with my budget, I had a very limited budget, you know. But
I know he would. In the little Haiti.
He plays Swans. He plays Swans on his radio show, and of course, Michael is a huge Stooges fan, and it would have been that's one of the people I would have liked to have gotten as well. Jim Jarmusch, I really tried to get because he was I know he's a big fan, and he actually played with one of the guys from Circus Mort. They had another band back in the early 80s, so there's a connection there.
Wow.
So,
very small.
But he was
world.
Cutting. Yeah, he was editing his new film, so I just didn't have time for an interview.
Really nice man. He's way into Stooges, too. I know that. He talked to me twice about that. We're at the end of the second hour, April 4, 2020. Hold tight for hour three. April 4, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
I'm what are my delight? Crowds of insects, spotlight on friends, visions in the dreaming, but bug-flecked night, no end to streetlight's shadow. Careful around the globe of light, bat, saint, flutter, peak of dark night, twirl around and flash my delight. Bat, saint, streetlight, arc of madness flashed on sight, darting in and out of my vision, dripping through the night to swoop away like focused chaos, all directed around the light. Bat, saint, streetlight, in the night, all right.
Well, it hits you like a great dream, knocking it on your hands. Didn't see that coming. Now I'm on the press. Controlling will to not fall apart. Gotta get through this day. Doesn't leave you much choice now. So run it out of the way. You gotta battle it out, you gotta see it through. You'll overcome the dark, you know you always do. You make it back to shore. You've come this far before. Day two and it's only getting heavy. Still feeling alone in the woods. Still the news of isolation. Letting yourself begin. We cannot see the light. You can reach for the exit. Can't get up to your feet. You gotta battle it out. You gotta see it through. You'll overcome the dark. You know you always do. You'll make it back to shore. You've come this far before. Waking up on level ground, things don't seem so bad. The light of different wind, world so far from you. Wondering how you even got there, giving your current mood. How a different plane now, giving out time of the world.
There was a girl named Beth. too scared to even walk on past. She used to say, all those good people down on Jubilee Street, they ought to practice what they preach on Jubilee Street. But here I come, I'm pushing my wheel of love. I got love in my tummy and a tiny little pain and a 10-ton catastrophe on a 60-pound chain. And I'm pushing my wheel of love up Jubilee Street. Well, look at me now, look at me now.
Transforming, I'm vibrating.
from Pedro Show. We start off third hour with Einstein and Neubaut doing Three Thoughts. And then Joe Brewer, Jack Brewer's cousin, out of Madison with Bat Sate Streetlight. Mario DeSandro, out of Battle. And he just moved to SoCal and lost his job. It's terrible. But we're going to get through this, people. And then finally, Nick Cave in the Bad Seeds with Jubilee Street, live. And maybe Blixer was in the Bad Seeds. Is he in this version of the Bad Seeds?
No, I think, you know, he left in the 90s.
When I was helping Porno for Pyros in 96, I think it was, in a big day out in Australia. I got to be with them guys. I know Marty's still with them, and he was with them in those days.
Yeah.
And Nick, too, was a great, always very kind to me. Blix a little distant. Oh. But Blix is kind of very interesting in the documentary.
Yeah, he's also, you know, has a connection with Michael. I think they have a lot of respect for each other. And I was lucky again to, that he did the interview mainly out of respect for Michael and everything, you know, he's done. And yeah, so I've always been a bit intimidated by Blixa. So that was the one interview I didn't do. I couldn't fly to Berlin just for one interview. So I had someone do it for me. But, he adds a lot to it even. I did want to mention that, I there's a connection with you as well in Desolation Center, which are the shows that Neubauten were part of, and so were the Minutemen.
They were different. They were a couple years apart, yeah. But yeah, the same trip, yeah.
But I saw Desolation Center last year in Chicago, and I loved it. I loved your presence in it as well. And I got to meet Stuart Sweezy in Chicago because both films were playing as part of the Chicago Underground Film Festival.
Ah.
And so, yeah, it was a great experience. The films played one day after the other. And, I loved the scene just being, you know, just witnessing that era in L.A., was really, really fascinating.
You know, Stuart was really, here's the guy who's putting on gigs in clubs, and let's try to put on gigs in different places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like that, you know. And that's the way the movement was, you know. Think of something and then try to make it happen.
But I also love, it showed how it sort of came about just as a frustration, desperation to get out of the city because the cops were so brutal and against this shows and bands.
Yeah, they were a nightmare. Always a nightmare. But the idea of him trying to make these unique events, I mean, that was kind of a different trip. I think the club thing was really important for us because people that are like 13 years old in 1970, all we knew is arena rock. We didn't know about clubs. Yeah, so there's this rock and roll is club music. It started there, you know, maybe it'll change now with all this disease and stuff. But the arena rock thing didn't come until the 70s. So, yeah, it was a weird kind of thing, you know. And Stuart's a great idea, too. The idea that there's different ways to be part of the expression. You know, not all of us have to play bass. You know?
Yeah,
of course, I want the more bass players, the better, of course, but I'm a little biased. but in the real world, it's all kinds of people, especially your endeavor. Think about making a movie. What a collaborative effort. Even your documentary here, like you had to have somebody do Blix's interview in Berlin.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it was. I really admired. I loved Stuart's film, and even the everything he put into that. You know, just making these shows happen. I mean, to me, with my film, it was a struggle. A lot of times where, you know, I had I was, you know, being a shooter and an editor as well. I was able to do a lot of most of it all on my own. You know, I would just fly with my camera and lights and just do the interviews just because I could, you know, and I just kind of pushed along like that. I would film the shows. Of course, I had to help, a lot of help, you know, with the audio and the graphics and everything. It's a collaborative effort, and everyone's just kind of doing it for the love. It's really a labor of love in the end. And as you know, most things that I think are true and honest are labor of love. And so it was, you know, I felt like a lot like I was in the film. Michael talks about just persevering a lot, just being forced to go push forward, even in the face of failure. And I felt like that sometimes, just trying to finish the film. And it wasn't easy, but I'm glad I got it finished. I mean, it's been playing around the world over the last year, and it's gotten a lot of really good reactions from people.
I'm glad you finished it too, Marco. Let's play Jim Fetus here.
Fast money. money in a fast life. And that's why I'm the shit with no ass rights. You wanna buy a dream, I got them half price. So much cash, gotta tie the rubber bands twice. I know you heard around the town, I'm the man, right? And I can make a couple grand on a bad night. See, I might wear the same clothes I wore from last night. But coach live a lavish life. Money hungry appetite. Hustle till I'm satisfied. The money so heavy, make my pants sag. I'm on fire, through the wire, fill a back drag. I'm full-fledged with it, I don't have facts. I never finish last, see, I be getting it fast. See, I be getting that cash, nigga, I'm banked up. I'm throwing drank up, you throwing games up. But with a cash check, nigga, keep staying stuck. Keep staying broke, nigga, keep taking the bus.
Hey, it ain't nothing to a player.
The perfect flow, live from the streets, it's the fucking coast. What's good, man? It's cracking play. I can't forget the lane. Hi, haters. If you ain't talking money, I'm gonna need a translator. I'm the shit. I get my blazers and my flax paper. Switch it up from the Chuck Taylors to Alligators. Looking like my uncle Church, he a real player. When you get real money, that's when you get real haters. I'm really unsigned. Real major, real recognized, real, and I'm a real gangster. You really fake, you just acting like you're real, ain't you? I make money real, I make real money. If you ain't doing the same, then you're a real dummy. I'm ready to beat, but the song made the bail money. Bail money, royalties on my books, might need jail money.
Hey, it ain't nothing to a player.
Yeah.
last music for this edition, Fetus with Butterfly Potion, Die J Reds with the top, Mold Omen Al Balmart with a well-tuned tornado live, and then finally Blank Mass with the Rat. What's next, Marco?
I've got another project that I'm sort of in the beginning stages of making, you know, producing and starting up. It's another music documentary. I've kind of got the bug now. I want to do another one, but definitely not as, you know, on a, such a massive scale. It's actually a band, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, called Rima Rima.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, the old days. I remember them, yeah, maybe late 70s, early 80s.
They had one 12-inch on 4AD.
That's right.
It was, I always, you know, I was a big 4AD fan growing up, and just was very curious and fascinated by this band that had only put out this one EP. And then, you know, subsequently, their songs just were covered by This Mortal Coil, and then, even more surprisingly, by Big Black. And so I was like, what's going on? Who is this band? And, you know, I discovered that, you know, there were members of bands that went on to have, you know, pretty well successful careers, like Wolfgang Press and Renegade Soundwave, Psychic TV. And they have a really interesting story. And so I just want to kind of explore that sort of late 70s, early 80s period.
Which was very interesting. It was very interesting period.
Yeah, yeah. So I've already done some interviews when I was in London, and I was already planning to go back and do more interviews before the whole world shut down.
We're going to learn from this. So when it happens again, we're going to be better prepared, hopefully.
Yeah.
Because it is going to happen again. You know what I mean? Bugs are bugs. These motherfuckers. Yeah. They infect bacteria. They infect everything. Anyway, where can people find you? Marco, where can people find you on the internet?
The film has a website, wheredoesthebodyend.com. There's news about the film on there, and I'm, yeah, on Instagram or Facebook, just my name.
You don't have a Marco Parcia website?
No, I don't.
You're going to get one, though, right? You're going to get one, especially for the Marima doc, okay?
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to have a new one, but...
Think of having a fanzine. It's like having your own fanzine. There's no filter. Nobody can tell you what to write, right? It's your website. You put whatever you want there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mean to be evangelical
about it, but...
I wasn't ready for just my own website. Yeah, but I will have to get one soon.
And then you can put your flyers on those other telephone poles. There's no problem.
Yeah.
But you gotta have the home base, you know?
It's
been a big honor for me to have you on, Marco. Will you come back on when you get done with this Rima Rima and we'll talk about it?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much, Mike.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was great to speak to you.
And, you know, it's kind of rare for me to have film things, but in a way, expression is expression. Your ears or your eyeballs, and they kind of mix together anyway, and you're a bass player, you know.
Yes, yeah. There's a quote from... Nietzsche that I want to use in my upcoming doc that basically goes, life without music is a mistake.
Ah, righteous.
And so that's the basis of...
I like that. He's got a lot of things, yeah. And, you know, they usually strike home. That one for me, for sure.
Yes, yeah.
Anyway, very beautiful. Keep on keeping on, Marco, truly.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mike.
Okay, people, it's been April 4, 2020, Dishwap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.